is placing your life in order, your next is about overflow. But repeat after me, my now is not my next. But what I do now will determine what I see next. In the matter of fact, what I say now, what I pray now, what I praise now, what I love now, what I forgive now, what I bind now, what I release now, what I confess now, what I declare now, what I read now, what I focus on now, will determine what I see next. Did you get that right now? God will send the next your way when your now is ready. When your now is ready. Well, let me give you a story about the net. About this, the net not breaking. There was an attempt mid-early 2000s by a major television network to recruit yours truly and my family for a secular network for a television program, not similar to what we've seen before with some Christian leaders and pastors, something completely different. And we were there in the final stages, but the net wasn't ready. Net wasn't ready. Later on, about 2011, I was at a church. I was at my church and church planning in California, and y'all know the name. And somebody came in and whose name you would recognize in this stream of Christendom, and came in there, and it's a female, and she came in and said, "Sammy, God has a word for you. The word is Hollywood." Now again, the net already broke for me in Hollywood. So I'm thinking, you missed it. Like, wow, if this is accurate, which probably it is, but I don't know if it's now, 30, 50 years from now, maybe it's my grandkids. Sometimes it's multi-generational. I don't know. But, and then a little something happened. Like, I had no affinity, no connection. And then all of a sudden, I read, coming back, I was preaching at a church in Texas. And coming out of my American Airlines flight, I saw a story about a woman who had prayed her son back to life. I read the story on an RSS feed before there was Wi-Fi on every flight. So they shut the door. I just read the portion where it says, "Boy dies, St. Louis dispatch, boy dies, mom comes in, says, makes prayer, loud prayer, son comes back to life." I didn't know what she was. I didn't know she was Mormon, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Starbucks drinker. I had no idea what she was. But on Sunday, I repeated what I read verbatim and said, "Mama prays, sons comes back to life." And I should have done my due diligence, because you have no idea who she prayed to, what God, what thing, right? But it was a cute story, not knowing like the details. Then I went on my television program on TBN and started repeating the story just based on the RSS. Then I found out she was a Christian, but not the full details. So I thought I had the permission to. And I get this weird inbox, my direct message from this lady who says, "Pastor Sam, I'm one of your followers. I love your ministry. I'm the lady you're referencing. I'm the mom that prayed, but you're shortchanging my story." And I went, "What do you mean, ma'am? My name is Joy Smith. My son is John. He's the kid that died. You mentioned on television that he died for 15 minutes. No, he didn't." And I went, "Is that wrong? I have to clear that. I'm obsessed with integrity. Oh, man, let me go back." She goes, No. "He was dead for 1 hour and 8 minutes. And that's when I said, "Ma'am, not that I'm doubting you, but can you prove this? Is this verifiable? Would the doctor sign off?" She went, "Which doctor do you want to talk to?" The moment she gave me like the evidence, the Spirit of God hit me and said, "I told you Hollywood." And I went, yeah, I get you told me Hollywood, but God said, no, this is it. I go, "What, this is it?" "Samuel, you're going to make that story into a movie." And I went, "Who in the world in Hollywood?" And I mean Hollywood, not like Christian companies, God bless Pure Flix, not like Pure Flix, the Kendrick brothers, God bless them, not that. But God said Hollywood, secular Hollywood. Who in secular Hollywood is going to make a movie about the power of God? Who? So all of a sudden, God said, "You're making it into a movie." So I called the lady up and I said, "Ma'am, this is going to sound ridiculous to you. You know me as a preacher, but let me introduce you to your new producer." And she went, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm going to make your story into a movie." She goes, "You must be really well connected." And I went, in other circles, I am. In Hollywood, let's just say it's all by faith. So all of a sudden, she starts, I go, ma'am, I need you to tell me the full story. And we took that story. She told me, she said, Pastor Sam, you're all, and we got all the doctors, every doctor to sign off. Not one doctor refused. And I went, how can every doctor sign off to this? This is crazy. Ma'am, this boy, as you well know, if you saw the movie Breakthrough, this boy was on a lake plane with his friends right outside the confines of the county, St. Louis County in Missouri, in the month of January. He was playing. The ice broke. He went down. He was underwater, under ice water for 15 minutes. They took him out. He was dead a collective time of 1 hour and 8 minutes. 1 hour and 8 minutes dead. By the way, the only way they found his body is because there was this first responder firefighter. His name is Tommy Shine. And Tommy Shine was there looking for his body. 10 minutes passed, 12 minutes passed. They couldn't find his body. And Tommy Shine is going, we're about to give up. This is obviously a recovery mission now, not rescue, recovery, because it's 15 minutes underwater. So Tommy, all of a sudden, he's in the lake. It's a big lake. And he's looking for the body. And from the shoreline, Tommy hears this, turn back, turn back. He's over there. So Tommy hears, turn back. He's thinking there must be a drone. Maybe like, you know, the boss has a drone, and I don't see any sort of infrared stuff here, right? But Tommy heard the boss say, turn back. So he turned back, and he went back. He went, all right, I just did this, but you're the boss. Ta, ta, do, boom. And here was a cadaver. It's like, good call, boss. So, and long story short, when they took the body away, the cadaver, the kid's dead. And Tommy goes back to the firehouse and the commander, he looks at the commander and says, hey, how in the world did you know the body was there when we already did that area? And his commander said, what are you talking about? And Tommy said, no. I mean, how in the world did you know? Because like we just covered that area and you were specific. Go back X number of steps and you're going to find. How did you know? And he went, what are you talking about? When you yelled from the shoreline and you said, go back X number of steps, and that's where the kid was at. I just want to know, where were the drones? How did you know? He went, one more time, Tommy. What are you talking about? You yelled. Stop, Tommy. No one yelled. No one spoke. There wasn't a conversation between us. I don't know what you heard, but no one gave you any instructions to go back. The commander says, you never know. It may be God. Tommy says, it can't be God. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Guess what? He's no longer an atheist. He's no longer a non-believer. They take the boy, to the hospital. This is about the net not breaking. They take the boy to the hospital. The boy's there. The cadaver's there. 1 hour, 8 minutes. They try everything. Nothing. Nada funciona. Nada, absolutamente nada. Nothing. And Joy Smith walks in. As she walks in, they tell her, listen, we tried everything. And I mean everything. And unfortunately, yes, we're asking you to come in there and say goodbye to the body. He's no longer with us. And Joyce walks in. And Joyce had options. And Joyce's options were to tolerate the outcome and to embrace it. But this Joyce was obsessed with the power of God. Joyce is not your normal Christian religious, attend church on Sunday and then do your own life, you know, Monday through Saturday. She was obsessed with the power of God. She's obsessed that miracles are not things of the past. Miracles are for today. She's kind of crazy. She has this ludicrous idea that there's still power in the name of Jesus. So she's one of those Jesus freaks, right? So she walks into this room and she walks in there and they tell her, Joyce, and can you put some of the pictures up, please? Begin to swipe some of the pictures up from the kid in the ICU and so forth. And she walks in there and he's dead. And she walks in there and she could have said, I can't believe this happened. Oh, good Lord, woe is me. I can't believe this is me. But she walks in there and she decides to open up her mouth. And not just say anything. This is what she said. She didn't say any other thing. She looked at the boy dead. But there's a problem, you see, because she had received a prophetic word about her son.
When her son was first born, there was the word given to her about that boy being an instrument for the glory of God and being a prophetic leader amongst his generation, that he would usher in a move of God. So all of a sudden, she's holding on to the promise of God and the word of God she received. And she's basically saying, no, this net will not break. And so she walked in there and she just out of this looked at the boy. And she said, and by the way, the St. Louis Dispatch said that the following, she was so loud that everyone in the emergency room floor heard her prayer. Now, so it wasn't a nice, forgive me, I don't want to offend anyone. I believe that the God that whispers is the God that prompts us to shout. Same God, I get that. But there comes a time in life where we have to raise our volume. There comes a time in life where you got to get your mute button off, and we got to lay off the whole sophisticated Christianity modus operandi. And sometimes you got to go in there for the sake of our children and our children's children and stop playing it so cool. Sometimes you got to do like Joyce. She lifted up her voice and she said, Holy Spirit, and she yelled it. She said she didn't do an internal prayer like, dear little baby Jesus. No, she said, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. Not 5 minutes later, not 4 minutes later, not 2 minutes later. The moment she said, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. Every machine in that room turned on simultaneously. There is still power in the name of Jesus. There is still power when we call upon the name of the Lord. There is still power. Lift up your hands. I dare you to say, Spirit of the living God, bring my family back to life. Bring my city back to life. Bring my generation back to life. Bring my community back to life. Bring my nation back to life. I dare you to shout like you believe it and pray like you believe it. Something's coming back to life as I speak. This time the net will not break. Stand with me. You're standing. Look up here. Look up here. The nurse testified that when mom prayed, she had her hands on top of the cadaver. And the nurse testified that when mom prayed, this was not in the movie, a wave hit the body that literally this is the nurse, a registered nurse, her hands were on the sheet on top of the boy. And when mama prayed, her hands were pushed off from the power of the wave. There's a wave coming. I said, there's a wave coming. There's a wave coming. I need you to get ready. There is a wave of God's Spirit coming that'll prompt everything to come off. It's time the net will not break. It's time the net will not break. When I got the full story with the affidavits and all the, when everything was confirmed 100% without one bit of ambiguity or disagreement, God said, you're going to make this into a movie, Samuel, because I told you Hollywood. You weren't ready for Hollywood back then because Hollywood wasn't ready for you. Sometimes it's not that you're not ready for the season, it's that the season is not ready for you. You'll get that by tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. So all of a sudden, I made a call
One of my buddies, as you stand with me, one of my buddies is a guy named Devon Franklin, close buddy. He's my buddy. Like, we spend some Christmas together, we hang out together. It's Devon. Devon is in Hollywood, but I never saw him as the Hollywood guy. I saw him as my buddy. And you don't want to mess up your friendships, right? You never want to go into business with one of your buddies. Messes things up. Drama, you know, you don't want to jeopardize it. So I didn't call him up. I'm going, I'm not going to call him. That's my buddy. I'm not just kidding. And God said, it's Devon. And I went, nah, I can't down. God said, call him. So I did. I went, Devon, listen, I got a story. God told me, I have to make it into a movie. He goes, what is it, Pastor Sam? I go, here's a story. He went, cool story. Not going to happen. He shrugged me off. He went like, why? Because Hollywood, basically, Sam, go through a Christian production company and try to do it through one of those Kendricks or Pure Flicks. Beautiful people. God bless them. In the words of Mike Huckabee, bless their heart. So, you know, God bless them. These are friends. But it wasn't that. God said Hollywood secular. So I'm insisting that a major studio do a movie about the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we change the world. We don't change the world by speaking to ourselves in an echo chamber of mutual affirmation. We change the world by first serving as a counterculture narrative that engages the culture that ends up reforming the culture. So I set up Devon, I brought Devon on my television program, and by coincidence, I invited the kid that died and the mom. By coincidence. I put him in the green room, walked out with my latte and said, Holy Spirit, take care of the rest. I brought him on, I interviewed him for an hour separately, 30 minutes each, but I kept Devon on the set as I interviewed the family. By the time that thing was over, Devon stood up, shook my hand and said, I'm doing your movie. 20th Century Fox said, we're going to run with your movie. I said, whoa. Right before the movie comes out, Disney buys the studio. Cancel all the movies they had in the rotation. All of them, including one from Will Smith. They cancel everything. They cancel everything. I'm thinking, oh, no. Obviously, the first one to go is going to be a movie about. So it's going to go. The Disney executives meet and say, we're only going to keep one film that we're not going to ditch. That film about the power of God will be in the screens. There was never before in Hollywood history a secular studio that did a movie about the power of the Holy Spirit. 20th Century Fox, it went crazy around the world. It won the Dove Award, and it was nominated for an Academy Award for the best score, the best music. Who does that? There is power in the name of Jesus when you know that your now is not your next, but what you do now will determine what you see next. And your next is a net that does not break. I'm done. I'm going to call you up here for a second. The net reminds us it's already done. Raise your hand. And when they got to shore, they noticed a fire with roasted fish and bread. It's already done. What you've been looking for, it's already done. What you've been praying for, it's already done. What you've been fasting, fighting, forging for, it's already done. When on the cross Jesus said it was finished, it was done. It's already done. I hear the Lord say this. Here's for someone. Put it in your spirit. Stretch your cords. In this season, the Lord says, enlarge your space. Go beyond the natural. Dream beyond the possible. Pray beyond the usual. Prophesy beyond the comfortable. Give beyond the normal. Praise beyond the pain. Forgive beyond the fashionable. Love beyond the feelings. Live beyond the lid. Woo-hoo-hoo. In Jesus' name, stretch. Something glorious is coming your way. Isaiah 54:2. I hear the Lord say this. Get ready for God. Get ready to see God detox your relationships. Sanitize your surroundings. And vaccinate your future. I hear the Lord say this. Do not retreat. Do not give up one inch of what Christ
process and paid for you. Don't give up 1 inch. Don't give up one of your children. Don't give up 1 millimeter, 1 nanometer of what God purchased for you. Not one thing. If you're receiving this, raise your hands. How can it be the same place, same people, same God, same instructions, different outcome? What changed? I'm asking you, how can it be the same God speaking to the same people in the same place with the same instructions, and yet this broke and this did not? What changed? 3.5 years. Time with him. Time in his presence. Time talking with him, living with him, praying with him, eating with him. The time you spend in his presence will determine your capacity to manage his promise. I have to repeat that. The time you spend in his presence will determine your capacity to manage his promise. The outcome will change when your priorities change. Make God first and your net will always be full. Make God first with your time, your thoughts, your money, and your decisions. Make God first and you will never be last. Make God first and you will have more than enough. And everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Proverbs 3:6. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Matthew 6:33. Now we're really done. Raise both hands and repeat after me. My net will not break. My faith net will not break. My family net will not break. My future net will not break. My holiness net will not break. My love net will not break. My shalom net will not break. My health net will not break. My financial net will not break. And I dare you to say this: the net of my children, and my children's children, and my children's children's children will not break. I'm just gonna do this. Pastor God, although, do you mind if I make a call? Y'all mind if I make a call? If you've been here, Jason, put out this, the one that doesn't break. If you're ready to exchange this for this, you've had attempts in the past, and sometimes it's not that you cut your own net, sometimes others come around and they rip the net right from you, and you trusted the wrong people. Sometimes it's yourself, self-inflicted. It's called taking responsibility. You know, regardless, sometimes it's just life. If you're ready to catch what you've never caught before, and this time the net not break, if you've been there, if you're ready to exchange this for that, yeah, precisely. Exactly what I mean. Because this time your net will not break. I will repeat to you what I stated in the month of April. When your integrity is more important than your influence, nothing can stop you. When your praise is louder than your pain, nothing can stop you. When your hunger for righteousness is greater than your fear of criticism, nothing can stop you. And when you are driven by anointing rather than ambition, nothing can stop you. When I came out of the hotel room today, I felt the Holy Spirit talk to me about nets that broke in cities. I even heard the Lord specifically mention there were cities that were on the verge of an incredible outpouring of the glory of the risen Christ. But nets broke. There were issues with leadership that prompted the loss of the harvest. And I heard the Lord say, but this time, This time, in the same place where the net broke before, this time the net will not break. Lift up your hands. Lead with me, flow, thank you. Flow with me with the Spirit of God. I'm gonna lay hands as the Spirit of God leads me. We are unleashing the net that doesn't break right now upon families, upon homes, marriages, ministries, callings, careers. We're launching, we're activating right now. Just what God did for me and opening doors for Hollywood, for future productions. God is opening crazy doors. And by the way, don't settle for less. Do not settle for an Ishmael where there's an Isaac with your name on it. Don't settle for plan B when God has a plan A and God only has that plan A. So don't settle for less than everything God has ordained for you. Lift up your hands, lift up your hands, lift up your hands. This time the net will not break. Flow in the name of Jesus. Go under the power of God. Yeah, I sense the Lord right now. Jason, help me out here, please. In Jesus' name, this time the net will not break. But it's really about a plow and a mantle. Life is about seasons where we are pushing, and we're pushing through work and family and home and relationships and faith. And then all of a sudden, just like Elijah, God places a deposit upon each and every one of us. Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're gonna go from a plow to a mantle, and you're gonna walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus. So I'm speaking prophetically to every plow pusher right now. With your right hand, lift it up. Here it is, to every mom and dad, husband and wife, married and single, entrepreneur and creative who has been pushing the plow. If you've never pushed the proverbial plow, do not expect to carry the mantle. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary of doing what is right. In your appointed time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if you do not give up.